You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. I'll get the day right today, Jay. It's Thursday after two misses this week.
It always comes after Wednesday.
Yes, always. And I miss Monday and I miss Friday, so you know how it goes.
Well, you can get messed up. You know, and the Monday holiday throws you off. I took my garbage cans out this morning, and they're still sitting there. So, you're excused.
The good thing is I know it's not March 30th anymore.
Exactly. And we're headed for June.
We're headed for June. And news continues to trickle out that it's more than likely we'll see some football.
Right. And we're going to have John Wilner come on and talk about how things have changed just in the time since he was last on our show. He was the first official guest when I joined the show back. Mm-hmm. And so it's been three and a half weeks since he was on.
It hasn't already been that long.
And it was...
First part of the month.
Yeah, it was May 4th, and if you recall, it was pretty gloomy at that time. So, when we asked him to be on the show again, he was anxious to come on and just talk about how things have changed in the last 3.5 weeks.
So right.
It'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
One of the things you talked about yesterday, and I think that's the universal, okay, we're going to have it likely, possibly more likely than not, but if people continue or start to mess around or do things they shouldn't be doing, it's very possibly that it won't happen.
Right, and it puts us all behind the eight ball on that. And, if people don't go out and do what they're supposed to do, the rest of us suffer for that. And that's the big thing that I think a lot of people are concerned about is like, what happens if, A, B, and C fan are doing the right thing, but fan D is not. That affects the others. So
right.
Yeah.
D trumps A, B, and C.
Exactly.
So, hey, it's official. Jason Terry is now an assistant basketball coach.
Yeah, Jason Terry, back in McHale, so it'll be great to see how that works out. You know, he's a fun-loving kind of guy, and just a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the program.
JB Joseph Blair did this a few years ago. Damon Sotomayor did it a few years ago. Now at Pacific, now JT. I think what it does is bring credibility to everybody wants to be him. You know, come to school, get here, play here, and then move on to the NBA.
Move on, have an NBA career, and then be able to stay in basketball after that.
Correct. Yeah. And they want to be him. They see him as an example.
Right.
He's a great guy. I'm sure he's a tough dude because you need that tough dude.
Sure.
I mean, Sean is that tough dude.
Sure.
But you also need that go-between.
Right.
You know, Rosboro was Luth's go-between.
Rosboro was that guy. Guys like Ricky Birdsong were that guy. A lot of coaches through the years, you have to have guys like that on your staff who players can go to, not to undermine the head coach, but just to have another place to go to and talk and maybe get an understanding of your head coach. And when you've got somebody like Jason Terry, who's, he did 4 years at Arizona, he had a long NBA career, he's a guy that you certainly know has seen a lot. And so, a player, a college kid, in Arizona's case, kids who are really far from home, some of these overseas kids maybe can go talk to him and have another place to get an understanding of how things work over here.
Yeah, in fact, I've been trying to reach, and I've talked to him a couple of times over the last 3 weeks, and I reached out to him today. I want to get Dusan Ristić on the show to see how it is.
We should get a guy like that on, any of those guys who've come from overseas to play here. Dusan was here, it seemed like 20 years.
Right, and he became a fan favorite.
Yeah, and he was a fan favorite. I remember his senior day he got a huge ovation, and people just appreciated how he did the work.
Right.
He was a good player, not a great player, but he was a good fundamental player, again, like we've talked about with some of these international guys, and he just did a good job. And from where I sat on at the scores table, you just thought, somebody throw him the ball, because if he gets the ball, 6 feet from the bucket, he's going to score.
Right. He had that little soft jumper.
That little soft jumper that he made every time.
One of the funniest things I've ever saw, because Sean was involved, when he had that three, took that three-pointer and shot, no, 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 and he took it, and he says, no, no. And he was still upset because he took the three, but he made it.
But he made it. But you know, and throughout his career, you never thought Dušan was going to make it in the NBA, because he was a defensive liability. He was kind of slow, but he was just a good, solid player who'd come in and give you some good minutes.
And a good bench guy.
Right, and a really good bench guy. And you knew, I don't know what his career has been afterwards, playing overseas or whatever, but you know that he could make a career for himself overseas and go back home and make some money and have a good career. He was a very good player, very good fundamental player, and somebody that you like to watch play.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get him. He's overseas now, and he has WhatsApp. We can't get to WhatsApp, but so it's, you know, we need a phone and all that stuff. So we'll see if we can get that. He wants to come on. He's told me he wants to come on maybe when he comes back to the States.
Yeah, if we can get him back here, that'd be great to have him on. But I'd love to get a perspective from an international player that's been at Arizona to see, you know, what kind of things that they run into and that they face.
We'll have to get either him or Markkanen.
How about DeAndre Ayton? No, he might be a little hard to get.
So there's that. A lot of things going on. Did you see that the Major League Baseball might be starting in July, but the minor league system is kind of like boom?
Yeah, that's too bad. I did see, you know, we reported earlier how Oakland said they weren't going to pay their players anymore. And then Seattle came out and said that they were going to pay their players. So at least those guys will, you know, have something coming in. But it's unfortunate. You know what? And there's just a lot of that. And there's some things that you just can't help, you know? I mean, you know, I lost my job at the Sugar Skulls, and there was nothing we could do about that.
Right.
I mean, you know, I completely understood what was going on. And I don't blame, you know, the owners for what happened there. It's just, that's just
the way it is.
The way it is with what we're going through. And there's people like that all over the place.
So I want to give you some good news. You can stop working out. I'm going to stop working out purposely. There's no Boston Marathon. I'm going to stop.
I was going hard. I was up to running, you know,
to the refrigerator,
300 or 400 yards. So I had the 0.2 of the 26.2. I had that down. But that's unfortunate. 124 straight years they've run that marathon through a couple of world wars and all kinds of other things. They said recent years been drawing 30,000 runners. Our friend John Wilner, who's going to be on today, he's running that, and I know a lot of other people who have run in that. So that's, you know, again, just another casualty of what we're going through right now.
Yeah, no question, and they'll probably continue. We're hoping baseball shows up, basketball maybe.
Yeah,
we don't know.
They're still trying to wrangle it out in baseball. I don't know what's going to happen there. You know, the divide between the owners and the players there is so bad. It'll be unfortunate if they figure out a way to do it, but then don't because of money.
And then Tom over there, hoping that hockey comes by. Do you really care?
Yeah, of course I care.
Did you watch?
Yeah, I will definitely watch.
You're the guy.
Yes, I am that guy. I mean, that's my sport, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it comes back, I'm 100% watching. But like I say, I'm watching German soccer right now in the morning.
Right. Are you still watching Korean baseball?
I've given up on the Korean baseball because, I got to spend today watching the 1988 Dodgers World Series. It's been on MLB Network all day. I had a fun day today
Who wins that, by the way?
Yeah. You know, it's Oral Hershiser won it almost all by himself. So that's been fun.
Good, but Tom,
I want to let you know, even I'm going to watch the hockey. I am a playoff hockey watcher.
Okay.
But I don't watch it otherwise. And I'll watch a game 7 of anything. Okay. I'll watch a game 7 of anything, whether it's playoff hockey, NBA, women's basketball, you know, Major League Baseball. I love playoff sports.
So I take it you don't watch. Do you watch regular season NBA?
I do. I watch some of that.
So
that I can have a conversation with my kid.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have nothing to talk about if I don't watch the NBA. So I watch more NBA now than I used to. But I definitely watch NBA playoffs. I watch hockey playoffs. I'd love to see the hockey.
So we got John Wilner coming in for maybe a half hour, and then we'll talk more about Vegas is going to open.
Yes, it is, but it's going to be
different.
Like everything else, that's going to be different too. I've got a stake in how that's going to look because I take a trip there every fall that I'm looking forward to.
Let's take a quick break, get a hold of John Wilner, and come back here on 10:30 The Voice.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have the San Jose Mercury News sports writer, John Wilner. John, how the heck are you?
You guys are still on the air yet, huh?
No one's cut on yet.
No. Well, first of all, we haven't had to be separated from anything because, you know,
we're already separated.
I think Steve and I see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. We've had a few things to talk about, but you know, it's not. I think people are listening, so you know, you know what, John? It's because we started all of this with you as our first guest when we came together on the show. You set the tone for our show.
Well, yeah, and I got off the air, and I bet the under on 10 days.
Dude, no refunds. We have a no refund policy.
Exactly. So, John, I got to ask you: Have you stopped your training for the Boston Marathon now that it's off? Or you know, because I know you ran it a while back, right? When you were a young man.
No, I tried to qualify one time and missed by a few minutes, and it remains a dream. But
oh, I thought you did run. Yeah. My bad.
No, but I was a little bit surprised they canceled it this far out, but they must have their reasons.
Yeah, 124 straight years. So, I mean, what, you could have run 100 years ago or so?
Yeah. I'd like to do it someday. It's on my bucket list, but those qualifying times are tough till you get to be about 65 years old.
Well, I was going to say, John, if you couldn't make it how many years ago that you tried, you're getting old.
I am getting old, right? I know.
And you have kids.
I may phase into the wheelchair race.
Okay. Well, again, but then as you get older, you can get in older brackets, right? So then the times are a little easier to hit, or what?
They come down a little bit. I think once you get to be 60, I think the qualifying time is 4 hours. So I may have to aim for that.
Well, I know I could drive 26 miles in 4 hours. I'm sure I can run. I was telling Steve, I had the .2 of the 26.2. I had that. I was ready to go with that. I just don't have the 26 miles that behind me. So I don't think I'm ever going to do that.
You'll start at 26?
I'll start at 26 and I can do the .2.
Nice.
He's the Rosie Ruiz of of Tucson. How's it going? Are you busy tracking down what's going on with this football team, with this football season?
It's really busy. I mean, it's in some ways it's busier April, May than ever because of everything that's going on with coronavirus and other issues like name, image, likeness, the transfer policy, the actual transfers and roster moves. UCLA just hired an athletic director. I mean, it's been incredibly busy, and is going to probably, we may see a little bit of a slowdown here now that everybody's kind of figured out when they're bringing their players back, and it may slow down until we get to late June when they're going to have to decide about training camp.
Let me, before we get to the Pac-12, which you do a very good job of, you covered Arizona basketball here for a number of years before you moved on. What are your thoughts on Jason Terry joining the staff here?
You know, when I originally heard about it, I was like, oh, so Sean Miller's hiring his successor eventually. But, you know, he certainly doesn't have any coaching experience. I didn't realize he was still playing until, like 2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Amazing. I mean, you know, one of the program's best players of all time, for sure. His senior year, he was on the short list of best seasons, I would think, by an Arizona player. So, it's good. You got to have that. You need to kind of have the old guard on board, right? And that helps on so many fronts with any program, and this is a good way for them to do it.
So, I forgot what I was going to ask you. We were going to go on COVID stuff. Oh, so last time you were on, it was pretty gloomy for whether or not there was going to be football. Now, to me, it's apparent there is going to be football in some form or another. What do you think have been the major developments, major things that have happened to get us to where, you know, it looks like something's going to happen?
Well, I mean, I think there was a couple of things in the last, what, 2-3 weeks really kind of moved things forward. One was that a lot of the presidents, including Robert Robbins, have come out and said, we are planning on opening campus and having students on campus in the fall. And that was the first domino that's got to fall for the Pac-12, is that they have to have a campus safe enough for students so that they can have, you know, a locker room that's safe enough for athletes. So once the president started saying, we're planning on opening and here's our plan, that kind of got things moving. I think that just learning more about the virus has helped. It's things like, you know, transmission on surfaces or outdoor transmission. There's such few instances of outdoor transmission. I think that's kind of helped to, it's been encouraging. And then they had to make a decision about whether players were going to come back in June for voluntary workouts, right? I mean, you get to late May and you want to have your players back. You got to make a decision, right? So this was really the first benchmark that we've reached. Late May, decide to open up your weight rooms for your players because gyms are opening all over the West. That's the other thing I should mention, right? The economies are kind of coming back to life. And if a gym is open down the street from campus, why wouldn't you open your weight room? It's a more controlled environment for the athletes, for sure.
Let me ask you this. I asked Yogi Ruth this last week. You're a father. You're I think it's your son, correct? You have a son who's younger. But if he was playing football and he was a freshman or sophomore in college, how would you feel him playing?
Well, that's if I was okay with him playing because of all the other problems. You know? I mean, right? I mean, seriously.
True, yes.
You know, head trauma is that's a whole different discussion about whether you should play football. But right now, if I had a son and I was okay with him playing in the first place, I would take a wait-and-see attitude. I would be okay with him going back to campus to work out in the weight room because it's going to be a super controlled environment, small groups, everything's going to be sanitized. You're going to have temperature checks at the door. Everything's going to, meals are going to be in bags. They're going to be incredibly careful here for this first stretch. And then they're going to see where things stand. And if it works out, then they're going to make a decision on training camp. And if I were a parent, I'd say, you know what, I'm okay right now. Let's see how things go through June, and then we'll make a decision on whether we want to be involved in a training camp situation. I saw Arizona's provost was talking about this the other day, right? The rate of serious condition for COVID in the college age group demographic is very, very small, and that's part of the reason why the schools are opening up. They're looking at economic devastation, and they're seeing that you know, very few college age kids are getting serious instances of COVID, and they figure if we can protect the faculty, if we can protect the coaches, if we can protect the officials, we might be able to play football.
Geez, John, it sounds like you were at President Robbins' news conference yesterday, because those were exactly some of the things that they talked about. Their reentry task force held a news conference yesterday that I was at, and those are exactly the things that they talked about. First of all, the provost did bring that up again about the low lower instances of COVID for that age group.
Seriously, serious complications.
Right, serious, yeah. And then, but one of the things that President Robbins did say and did talk about was that while they have every intention of having the students on campus and are planning on having the students on campus and preparing for that, they haven't actually made the final decision that they will be on campus because they still don't have the reentry plan put together, which is what they're doing right now. So is that kind of along the lines of what everybody else is saying in the league?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody is planning on it, right? I mean, it's not necessarily definitive because nobody knows what's going to happen. But I've counted I want to say either nine or 10 of the schools have said for sure we're going to have, we are planning on having students on campus. Now, it's not going to be the same deal, right? It's going to be,
right.
In a lot of places, it's going to be this hybrid mode where part of the learning, part of the instruction is online and part of it's in the classrooms. But having that is basically enough, I think, for them to move forward with football. But it's certainly a wait and see for the campus situation and for football, right? I mean, they're all planning on playing, and they're going to plan on playing until they are told they absolutely cannot. But even if they do, it could be like two steps forward, one step back, two forward, two back. It's not going to be just a straight shot from June 15th when they show back up on campus all the way to December 1st when the Pac-12 title game happens, right? It's going to be fits and starts, and they may not even finish the season.
Right, so there's a chance that it may be an abbreviated schedule, a late start of a schedule, kind of something like that.
Anything. They are preparing for anything. A late start, they're preparing for, I mean, they've modeled scenarios where they don't even start till January or February. They're talking about what if you get six games in and then you got to take a break and you finish up with six games, you know, early next year. They're talking about full 12. They're talking about playing nine conference games and that's it. They're talking about playing 10 or 11 conference games and no non-conference games. They have talked about everything, and they are going to be as prepared as they can for, you know, whatever surfaces, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to go down to the wire, right? They're going to decide in late June about training camp, and they'll probably have to decide sometime in late July, early August, about whether they're going to start on time.
Who's the main driver of this? SEC is obviously a football country, that area. The Pac-12 does what it does. The presidents, the pro. Who's the driver? Who's the guy that's going to say, okay, we're going to do it?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because there is no college football commissioner, right? The conferences are operating independently. I don't think that there is a main driver. I think it is a conference-by-conference determination. They're working together to try to make things as equitable as possible, but ultimately it's the conferences making their own decisions based on the decisions made by the campuses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could. I don't think it's going to happen, but we could get to a point where there's a couple of schools that say, you know what, because of the health situation locally, we don't think it's appropriate to play. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to be in that position. They are really aware of the national perception that they're behind or that they don't care as much. And they're going to do everything they can to play. And the presidents and chancellors, they know what's at stake financially, too.
Right.
That's the big thing.
Let's take a quick break. Have you come back on the other side here with John Wheeler on 1030 The Voice.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. You're listening to the Flying V as Antenna Canyon.
Or the old Cactus Club at La Paloma.
Oh, holy moly.
Now we're really dating ourselves again.
That's a good sign. Welcome. Hey, John Wheeler on the phone from the San Jose Mercury News. Hey, John, before Jay gets to your question, gets a question to you, do you think that fans will be in the stands at all?
At this point, if I were to bet, I would say that there's a pretty good chance there will be fans, you know, at reduced capacity, right? For Arizona Stadium, what is that, like 55,000, 58,000?
Yeah, 54 and change or something like that.
Yeah, they may have 10. They may have 10,000, 12,000 seats available. And they're going to be, you know, they're going to have it blocked off so that you're not going to have anybody directly to your right or left or in front of you or behind you because of transmission. So I don't know what that's going to leave Arizona exactly, 10,000, 12,000. And then the other component to that is how many fans are going to want to go,
Right.
Because you're potentially exposing yourself to the virus, but also the atmosphere is not going to be nearly as festive because there's going to be so few people there. They're going to make it so that they don't want you in the concourse, right? That's a spreading area. A lot of people in the concourse. So they may not sell food. They're probably not going to sell beer because they don't want anybody getting drunk in that situation. They're going to have social distancing for the restrooms. You know, you're going to have to wear a mask, probably. So it's not going to be a super a great atmosphere for enjoying yourself.
You're a party pooper. You're a party pooper.
You're pooping my party, John, because well, when you said who's going to want to go, I raised my hand.
The only way they're going to be able to get it done, I think, is if they have all these restrictions, you know, including you got to enter at a certain gate at a certain time. You got to show your mask. I don't know if they'll do temperature checks. They may do temperature checks. You're going to have to bring your own food. You know, it's going to be totally different until there's a vaccine.
Well, I think the answer to that, though, John, is that we're going to find out who the real fans are and who really wants to go to the games, you know, under those circumstances. And you're right. It's not going to be, you know, 50,000 people aren't going to want to go to the games, you know, and there may be 8 or 10,000 who still want to go, and there might not be any problems with the tickets. You know, I mean, I look at Tucson. You know, I think they averaged in the low 30s last year. You know, at Arizona. So, you know, if they say, well, you know, we've got 10,000 seats, I just don't think it's going to be that hard to figure out who wants to go to those games or not. Then there's the question of tailgating, which is another, you know, big thing on my my plate. So I don't know. I agree with you. It's going to require an effort. You're going to have to really want to go to a game.
You are, and the other component is if they only have 10,000 seats, how are they going to decide who gets to go? Right, if you got 20,000-25,000 season ticket holders, 10,000 seats, how are you going to decide? And how do the students get factored into that too? Right, are you going to save seats for students? And that would reduce how many season ticket holders can go. So they've got a lot. I get a legal pad of questions that have not been answered.
Yeah.
And figuring out how they're going to decide who gets tickets is on that list.
Right. Yeah. And then that's how those things are going to go.
You wanted to ask about the SEC.
Yeah. Well, so you, as we were going to break, you talked about how, you know, there's this, idea that, you know, that the Pac-12 is kind of behind everybody on this, but it seems to me like they've been a little more out front on this recently as the schools have come on and said, you know, we're going to have students on campus and stuff like that. But there was a really interesting quote, a really interesting post by Yogi Roth today. I don't know if you saw it. And he was responding to some stuff that Paul Feinbaum has been saying on his show about the Pac-12, and Yogi said there's this BS narrative out there that Pac-12 schools don't love football as much as the SEC. They're just as passionate. There's just more to do, which I think is a kind of a shot at some of the, you know, small towns or smaller communities where, you know, the SEC schools are versus the big metropolitan areas where the Pac-12 schools are. Because he's right. You know, you go to L.A., there's so many different things to do. Seattle, in the Bay Area where you are, even Phoenix, and to a degree Tucson. But, it seems to me that the Pac-12 has really kind of stepped up to show that they're not really behind. And some of the schools have really come out and been out in front on some of these things, specifically the U of A.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Arizona has been. There's no doubt. And part of it is which state you're in, right? Because Arizona has kind of opened things up. Utah, same deal, earlier than the West Coast states, right? Part of that narrative about is the Pac-12 going to get left behind was because of what Gavin Newsom was saying, not just about college football, but about the NFL. And what the governors in Oregon and Washington were saying. And so people took that to mean, you know, the Pac-12 schools are just not going to be allowed to play this year. When in fact, if you were just judging it based on what the schools were saying, the presidents and the chancellors, Larry Scott, athletic directors, they have had every intention of playing all along. But that kind of got drowned out by the narrative that the governors weren't going to open the states.
Yeah, I've got an interesting thought for you that keeps coming up with on my text threads over here. Any thought to, if you're going to have limited numbers of fans anyways, to improve the TV presence. Any chance, any idea that they might start, you know, have games on other days during the week? I know the MAC does that as the season goes on, but, you know, having games on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays to, you know, to maybe improve, you know, TV visibility or something like that. And if you're going to have 8,000 fans at your game, will 8,000 fans come on a Wednesday night as opposed to only on a Saturday?
Well, the TV component is part of the, you know, the unknowns, right? Normally, the Pac-12, right around June 1st, would announce the kickoff times for those non-conference games. They're not doing that because the TV networks have asked for a delay in their, basically their deadline. And that's because they got to figure out what's going on with the NBA, what's going on with MLB, NFL. They could have, like, there could be some kind of collision of events that comes in late August and September, and they're going to have to figure out the programming plan. So they may, I haven't heard this, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do try to push a few games, maybe a few more games to, you know, Thursday, Friday. The problem with doing too many of those is you have to give the kids, you know, the proper recovery time. Right. You know, you can't play Wednesday, Saturday. So then you have to, if you start slotting in a bunch of Wednesday games, you got to elongate the season to account for the basically what becomes an open Saturday after the kickoff. But I mean, everything is on the table, and that includes the TV component here in terms of when they schedule the games.
Let me ask you this. One of your former colleagues, one of your good friends, Jimeno, and my guy here, Jay, were on the show on Friday. And Jimeno, you know, as much as they talk about football and everyone's the expert here, Jimeno says Arizona's going to finish last in their conference, in their side of the bracket. Mr. Gonzalez says there's no way. Where do you fall in that?
I want to fight Anthony.
Arizona, where are they going to finish in the South?
Yes.
Oh, last place.
Come on, John.
I agree. I totally agree.
Behind Colorado, come on.
It'll be tight with Colorado. They could end up deadlocked at 2-7.
Well, first of all, Colorado has to come here. So that's the first thing.
Here we go. Here's okay. The alibi. Here comes
all right. Colorado's got to come here. I just don't believe that Arizona's going to be worse than Colorado. They got a new coach. He hasn't even seen their players. Come on. Seriously?
It'll be close.
Okay.
I don't think...
Go ahead.
I don't think Arizona's going to be very good, put it that way. But now, whether they finish, you know, sixth place at 2-7 in league or fifth place at 3-6, does that really even matter? I mean,
it matters to me.
They don't, you know, they just don't have players, right? They don't have players.
So we talked about this. If Jay said this in a roundabout way, if they go 4-8, 5-7, right? You said this yesterday, the day before. Sumlin's gone in my mind, he's gone. Wouldn't you think that if that's the record, 4-7, he's got to be gone, John?
I would think if he's got a losing record, I would think they would probably make a change. Is my guess. I mean, it would be expensive, and it would be expensive at a period of time where
there's no money
to afford it.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, every year you keep him is, you know, one fewer year that you'd be able to kind of restart your revenue. Right. You're increasing your revenue. So I would think a losing record and they would probably make a change is my guess.
We're going to fight. Okay. I'm just telling you, I'm going to fight you and then I'm going to fight Anthony, or I'm going to fight Anthony than you for picking Arizona last.
You take him first.
and you might not be allowed at our tailgate if you happen to be in town.
I would love to be rejected from your tailgate, because that would mean you're having a tailgate, which would be a good thing, right?
That could be a good thing.
And that, you said it, though. You said it. We don't know what the tailgate
is. That part worries me almost as much as...
Because
you know what? I'm going to see the games, whether I'm at the stadium or watching it on TV. I'm going to see the games. But if we can't have a tailgate, I got a big problem with that. Again, and I'm following all the things that people are doing. I keep a mask with me and all that stuff, and I'm going to do. But if we can't tailgate, I'm going to be really sad.
Wait, it's going to be interesting. The Miami Dolphins came up with this 50-page, basically it's a return to play playbook. What happens? How are we going to get fans in wherever they play? Joe Robbie Stadium? I don't even know. But it has been circulating in the NFL and in college football, and it's kind of being used as this guidebook for how you may want to structure your game day atmosphere to get some fans there. And they have a picture of the parking lot that the Dolphins have reconfigured, and it is literally a car and then two empty parking spaces and then another car and two empty parking spaces. So there's not going to be any place. Parking is going to be a big issue. There's not going to be place for tailgating if people follow this, what the Dolphins have mapped out, and I think it's got a lot of support in both the NFL and in college football.
That's scary.
Games as we used to know them are long gone.
Yeah.
Well, and even when there's a vaccine,
right.
How many people are going to want to go?
Right, no. Take your chances. That's why I asked the father question. What would you do? What would you say? And it may not be up to the parent, but, you know, that's a big deal to worry and things like that.
You just got to kind of go with what you know at the moment. And, I mean, think about how much more we know about the virus now than we did 2 months ago, basically when the shutdown started. And if you project ahead, hopefully we'll know a lot more 2 months from now, and that's just when training camp is going to be starting
up. Right.
So they have 3 months until the season, and you know, you just got to hope that they have a lot more information. I mean, the one thing to remember is the presidents and the commissioners and the athletic directors, they're not going to make decisions until they absolutely have to. It doesn't serve them any good to make a decision early. The longer you wait, the more info you have. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're not going to know for another month about training camp, and that's why we probably won't know till late July or early August about what the plans are for a season. I mean, what's going to happen if you know, a kid tests positive, right, during training camp, or 10 kids test positive, right? There's so many unknowns.
Right. John, good to have you on the show again. I hope to hear from you again shortly, maybe in another month or so.
Yeah, and let me know when you're in town so we can fight.
If you guys are still on the air in another month, I'm happy to come on.
Good to know. Thanks, John.
Thanks again, John.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
That was John Wheeler of the San Jose Mercury News, one of the Pac-12's best writers. Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice.
For nearly 7 decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these uncertain times. We're available for you by phone or online via our website or mobile app. Our drive-up windows are open, and we're available to help you in our branch lobbies by appointment. We've got your back today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. That was fun.
You know.
And you're still wrong. I think you're still wrong.
You know, first of all, let me say this, because I want to make sure that people understand where I'm coming from on this. You know, I was as big a U of A fan as anybody could possibly be. And then I started covering the team for the Arizona Daily Star. And I was immediately able to become a very impartial person as it related to coverage, because I was a journalist first and a fan second. So I know that there were a lot of people who questioned whether or not it could be impartial as I covered the team. And I think if people who took a look at my stuff felt I was for the couple of years that I covered the team. And then I went back to being a fan, and I am a fan, and I'm still a fan. And here, and sitting behind the microphone, I'm trying to be somewhat impartial, but I'm still going to be a fan because it's fun. It's more fun to be a fan and be able to challenge Anthony Jimeno and John Wilner to a fight over what they're saying about the Wildcats. but I also want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, I'm also going to have a perspective of what's going on, and talk about things as impartial as I can be, but at the same time being a fan. And there's a way to do that, and I'm trying to do that. I want the Wildcats to do well. I want them to get to a Rose Bowl, because I've been a fan for so long. But on the other hand, if they're not very good, I'm going to say they're not very good. And if there's a problems with the program, I'm going to say there's problems with the program. So I think people should know that. So having said that, We're going to fight. I'm going to fight those guys because I just don't believe that you can sit here and say that Colorado, and I'm only picking on Colorado, and Anthony thought it was really funny that the argument was whether they're going to finish fifth or sixth.
Right,
and John
basically
said the same thing, and I agree with that. But, you know, I just have a problem with people saying that Colorado is going to be better than Arizona next year.
Your thinking, I agree with. New coach, little resources, or he hasn't seen his team yet, hasn't been under the gun with them yet. I totally get it. Your Honor, your defense rests. But we know how bad Arizona is.
God. I don't know. I don't know. I'm one of those guys that goes into the season. I'm a little more realistic than the people around me, my brothers and some of my friends.
So what do they think?
They think they're going to be better than everybody's saying. But we always think that. My oldest brother, Rick, thought... Had Richrod not been fired that year, that
3 years ago,
3 years ago, that Arizona would have gone 10-2 the next year with Khalil Tate. Actually, would have gone 10-2 the next 2 years. So that's where he comes from.
Okay.
So that's the level of enthusiasm and blindness that I'm dealing with. I'm much more realistic, but on the other hand, I just think, you know. First of all, like I've said before, Arizona's got a returning quarterback, and that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And Colorado doesn't even have that. And they've got a new coach and all these things. So Colorado's the one I'm picking on.
Totally get it, and I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I just think in this instance...
Okay, as we said the other day, we're going to go over the schedule.
Oh, yeah, we have to do that.
We're going to go over the schedule. The first six games are critical because I think if Arizona wins three or four of those, they're going to hit the over on the 4.5 games that Vegas is saying that they're going to win.
Yeah.
So
we'll do that next week. Well, we have a lot of things going on next week. We have a pretty good guest next week. Next Thursday, we'll talk about that later next week about it. Good for this. What you wanted to bring up some of the conversations that he...
Well, you know, I thought some of the things that John was saying was really interesting. And again, it's this whole idea that the Pac-12 is kind of behind all the other schools in terms of, how much the Pac-12 cares about football enough to get it going, and John did agree that the Pac-12 has kind of gotten out there in front, and I think a big part of that has been what's been going on here at Arizona, because you've got Dr. Robbins, who, you know, Arizona is in the fortunate position of having a president who's also a doctor, so he understands some of this stuff more than, say, a president of the university who's been a business person or an educator all his life or whatever it is. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday, and he did acknowledge that he thinks that that's been important for the U of A and what it's doing to kind of be out there in front on all of this stuff, because he understands it. He pointed out to me that he says, I'm a heart doctor. Mm-hmm. So when I cut somebody into somebody's chest and work on their heart, part of what I do with them is the aftercare, which a lot of it has to do with, you know, disease control and viruses and all those things. Mm-hmm. And it's a big part of what he does. So he understands it.
Mm-hmm.
So he can be in a room and he doesn't have to be educated on all the things that matter as it relates to COVID. He understands it, and in fact, he can help direct a lot of that, and he's doing that. So Arizona's been very fortunate to have a president who understands all this more than the next president.
No question. It's funny how he talked about maybe 10,000, 12,000 in this stadium.
Yeah.
Typically, on a good day, it was 30,000 last year. We know that.
Right.
I was thinking 25,000. Even on a good season without this going on,
right?
If they're not any good, you know, Tucson, they're not going to show up and they'll abandon ship real quick.
Well, the worst, the really bad thing that happened to Arizona last year, and it affected their attendance the rest of the year, was losing the opener to Hawaii.
Yes, no
question.
If
Arizona wins that game, they're probably getting 5,000 more fans
at least
per game.
I agree.
You know, people bailed the minute they lost that Hawaii game, and That's the Tucson fan. That's the Arizona fan.
Yeah,
they do that.
No question. You've seen it all your life.
They do that. I've seen it all my life. You lose a game, they're gone. And I mean, I was pretty pissed off when they lost that game too.
Yeah.
Of course, I went to the games, but I there were a lot of people that I knew that were reliable fans who were going to games no matter what, and then didn't go. There were some people that I know who won't miss a game who didn't go to the opener because they lost to Hawaii.
Yeah,
and those are our fans, and that's who we are. If Arizona comes off and loses to Hawaii at home again, forget it.
Let me ask you something, because you go to games all the time. Is there a sweet spot? We're in Tucson, it's hot. Is there a sweet spot time-wise? Because they say it's too early at 9 in the morning and too late at 8 o'clock at night. Is there a sweet spot?
I think it's about 6 or 6:30. But, the TV, that's not a TV slot.
Right.
That's not a slot. There was a, way back in the 80s, they started having 6:30 games, 6 o'clock and 6:30, which was, so you're not getting home at midnight and stuff like that.
Right.
So to me, it's even a 5 o'clock game. Because what you need is for most of the fans to be in the shade, at the start of a game. I called out the fans last year because there was I can't remember what game it was, but, people were complaining, the games are too late. Right. Have them earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. So there was a 1 o'clock game or a 1:30 game.
It was Oregon State, I think. It was at home, right?
It was a home game. It was a 1:30 game, and the place was empty because it was too hot.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, you got what you wanted. Where are you?
Right. I was at that game. I said the same thing.
I think it's in the 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock time frame for Arizona.
But like you said,
there's not a time slot.
There's one
5 o'clock game that the Pac-12 has, but it's Fox's, it's generally Fox's top game.
Yeah.
And we're never that, Arizona's never that game, or hasn't been that game, hadn't been good enough to be in that game for a long time.
Right, right.
I think the last one I can remember was that when game day was here for the UCLA game, and Arizona was out of that game in the first quarter.
That would
quarter.
Have been the last time they were actually had a chance. That was a Baffert game.
Right. So I think that, but I think that's the time frame.
I guess, because you're right, it's the sunset about, maybe. It's about 3 hours later.
With the way the stadium sits, the sun can get behind the west side.
Yeah.
The people on the east side, except for the people on the very top of the upper deck, can be in the shade, and that's what they're looking for.
And what they need is to win.
And then they need to win. Again, Arizona has shown that if you win,
they'll
be there.
Yeah.
I just remember the Iowa game in the Stoops years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where all these people came from, but there were people in seats that didn't have seats. We were so squeezed together in our seats.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know those people down the row don't have those seats. So they'll be there. Again, in the end, if you win, they'll be there.
If they win, they will come. Yes, yes. Good show today.
Very good show. I thought John was great. Gave us a lot of information, and we'll keep calling on him because this thing's going to keep changing.
And we can all stop running for these marathon this year.
But we are going to fight.
Yeah, probably. Good show, Jay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks a bunch.
We'll see you next week, Tom.
Yes, I'm on to my weekend. You guys have one more.
Lucky. Okay. Thanks, Jay. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, we'll be here.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for listening here on 10:30 The Voice.